done so and see if any of those apply to you. And it's really just to see where your heart is. Like I said, I'm not taking it up, I'm not looking at it, but it's just kind of for you to kind of see how you are right now. We all have seasons, so right now in your serving. Everybody serves in preschool, is that correct? Okay, good. Because we're going to talk mostly about preschool, so just want to make sure. Okay, so we're talking about learning to love your calling. As Christians, we are all called to serve the church. So I, in part of my introduction, Danielle mentioned that I was specifically called to full-time ministry with children, but just because that's not your story doesn't mean you're not called. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, we are a royal priesthood. And so the priests were given in the Old Testament to serve the church. Since we are the priesthood, we are all given to serve the church. Since I've started seminary, one of the verses that has really stayed on my heart over the last 3 years is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And it just talks about how God gives apostles and evangelists and teachers and pastors to train up the body for works of service. It says, just because I'm in full-time ministry does not mean I do all the work. It means my job is to train you guys to do the work of ministry and to build up the body of Christ. So that's what we're doing here today. But mostly, I want you to know that you are all called. If you're here in this room, if you're volunteering or you're serving as a patron ministry, so I want to encourage you in that. And let's figure out why we're here. Why do we serve in preschool ministry? And then maybe talk about a few areas where you need some motivation. Maybe you've served in preschool for a while and you're tired and you're weary, or maybe you're new and you don't really know what it's about, or you're learning that it's really hard work and you're just kind of overwhelmed. So we're going to start that with I like discussion. So hope you guys are ready to, I know it's late, I hope you have your caffeine. We're going to have a little discussion with you guys. So question number one is, what motivates people to volunteer? You can talk about yourself and specifically, or people in general, but what motivates people to volunteer? This is discussion, so. Jessica has an answer, so hot. I saw your eyes. Anything.
Sometimes it's usually the community.
Community, that's good, that's great. And I want you to be honest, too, because sometimes you're only motivated to volunteer so you can be with your best friend, or you just needed a job, because a lot of you are paid teachers and you just needed a job, and that's okay. So let's be honest. Like, why do we serve in preschool?
What motivated me was to be at church every Sunday.
Yeah. So kind of that accountability, right? It's like they're counting on me. The need to fill a need. That's good. Yeah. Anybody else? I think for me, kind of like Gloria, I wasn't really connecting with people in my LDS. And so I wanted to do something. I'm kind of a doer. So if I can do something, that's one of the reasons I started first volunteering with children when I was...
Can I read that?
Mm-hmm. Molly?
Motivation.
For more motivation? Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody do it because somebody really convinced you? Like I can think of Melinda, who's very convincing. She will beg you until you serve. Guilt. That's true. Good. Obligation, kind of. You feel obligated to your friend who's asked you 50 times to volunteer. Anybody else?
I want to say for the love of God.
Good. That's, yes. And you don't have just one motivation. You're going to have a mix of these motivations. Obviously, I love God. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay, one more.
So, if you love kids, you're volunteering in the area that it's your
passion. You love kids. You're motivated because you love kids. That's great. Or you're passionate. That's good. I like passion. All right. The next question maybe is a little bit easier to answer. And she'll take that one off and stick it. What makes it difficult to volunteer? This one is probably you're going to have 50,000. Or to serve, because not all of you are volunteers, so I get that. What makes it difficult to come to preschool every Sunday? What are some of the things that keep you from... You can be honest. It's okay. I work here, too. What'd you say?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Sleep.
Not enough sleep? You want more sleep? More sleep.
Facing the active children.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't have the energy. You're like, I'm not feeling it today. I'm just not feeling it. Good.
Usually when you're not prepared.
You're not prepared. That's good. Do any of you have, like, small children at home? I know that can be really hard. Like, you're like, my kid didn't want to get up. I mean, I had to, like, drag him out of bed. Yeah.
Yeah, just getting ready.
Children, yeah. We love them.
I think, like, the busyness.
Yes, life is busy. You, there's 50,000 other things that you could do with that 2 hours, for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes I can eat.
What is it?
The
oh, for you especially. For me, I live like 5 minutes, so that could not be an excuse. That's good. Okay, one more.
Yes, I think dealing with parents.
Oh, that is hard. Because sometimes they're not nice.
Unhappy parents?
Yeah, dealing with unhappy parents, that's good. All right, great. Yeah, oh, one more, Alice, yeah.
Yes, and sometimes you can, you got to think about, like, you need to go for service because you yourself need to work with God. And
so that might be on this one.
She wants service.
Oh, that's
no,
she,
yeah, you go because
she wants to go to service.
Oh, you want to go to service. You want to go to the church,
you
big church.
And
worship at any time.
That's a really big one because you want to go to church. You want to be fed. You need that. You know you need that. So you have to make that sacrifice. Yeah, that's really good. That's good. Yeah. So one big motivation why we love preschool and we should be here is because Jesus loved children, right? Does anybody know the Bible reference that says, if you welcome a little child? Yeah, very good. Matthew 18, verse 5 says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. So children are important to God. Because they're important to God, they're important to us. And so that is a motivation for us to serve children because Jesus loves children. The other one of the other reasons is here, I'll explain this, is that you really have the opportunity for lasting long-term impact. So if you think about, some of you have served for 25 years probably, but for some of you, you're like, I'm on year one. I don't know what I'm going to make to 25. But if you serve faithfully for 25 years with children, you have the opportunity to touch up to 5,000 lives. Is that like crazy? Wow. Who's like, wow, that's a lot. So if we realize that an average class is about 25 kids that come every week, or maybe they don't come every week. Maybe you see 10 one week and 10 the other week. That's kind of how our classes seem to go here. But an average class size of about 25 kids that you'll get to know in a year. And if we do 25 kids for the 25 years that you're serving, you've already touched 625 lives. Now, if we can estimate that each one of these children in our class has a brother or sister, just one, so some have three, some have none, it averages out. So we're reaching 25 siblings for 25 years. That's an additional 625 lives that you can touch. If we imagine that every child has one mom and one dad, we know they don't, but if they did for 25 years, that's 1,250 lives that you have the opportunity to touch. We're going to say that every child has at least two friends. We hope they have more. So 25 children with two friends for 25 years is another 1,250. And then we're assuming that if each child has two grandparents at least for the 25 children for the 25 years is another 1,250 lives. So if you add these up, not that one, but if you add these up, that's 5,000 lives in the course of 25 years that you have to touch. So maybe you only served for 5 years in the preschool.
Does anyone know who to call if you want to get to know
them? You can go through and do the math on that. But it's going to be at least 25 lives, right? And that's enough. 25 is enough. 5,000 is awesome. But to touch the life of 25 kids is enough. Another reason that we serve children is because, I don't know if you guys know this, but most people, they did a survey of people who are Christians. Most of the people who are Christians now came to Christ by the time they were 18. So I think it was like 86% between the ages of birth to 14 came to Christ. 86% of the people in the world, or the people they surveyed, came to Christ by the time they were 14. Like, that is amazing. And in preschool, we don't get to see that because they're little, but you have to know that what you're doing is building the blocks, building the foundation for that lifelong change. And that's what we as Christians are called to do, is to make disciples. And so that's what we're doing here. We're making disciples. We're helping children know Christ. And there's really no better place, no better thing for us to do with our time. We talk about the busyness. We talk about the things that keep us from volunteering. But when we consider that we have the opportunity for a child to come to faith because of what we're teaching, it's all worth it, right? These are extra bonus reasons why we come, but this is the reason why we're here. This is the motivation. We want to be faithfully serving God. And then one thing that the guy said in the main session, I don't know if you guys caught it, but as preschool teachers, he said we are like the front door to the church because parents are going to come and drop off their children They might not go to Bible study where they get to meet someone one-on-one, but they're going to get to meet you at the door. You only get 2 minutes or less, but that's an opportunity. So we also not only have the chance to impact children, but all of their families as well. So those are all awesome reasons to serve. Who's excited about serving in preschool?
Woo!
Yay! Good. Good. Who is tired? Who's tired right now because it's bedtime? Good. My helper is so sweet. She was like, can I get anything for you? And I was like, Dr. Pepper. I need caffeine. Number one, most important, give me some caffeine. But who's tired in serving, in working in preschool? Preschool, raise your hand, preschool ministry is hard, right? Crying children are hard. We love them, and we're excited to do all these things, but it is hard. So hopefully today we can share some ideas together. God has gifted me with experiences in school and certain things, but he's gifted all of you as well with your experiences. So if we can come together and build each other up and encourage each other to keep going, to keep working, then that's what we're here for. So how can we get excited and refreshed when we're feeling tired? Who knows the number one thing?
Prayer.
Oh my gosh. Good job, Evelyn. High five.
I do it all the time. It never fails.
It never fails. That's right. That sounds so simple, right? Like, duh, we're Christians. Prayer is the answer. But it's so, so, so hard to do. Or you pray, you're like, okay, God, I just need your help right now. But we don't turn to that first. We are very independent, proud, hardworking people. So we're like, if I could just work harder, if I just study my lesson a little more, if I just keep pushing this buggy, you know, these kids will like it. Whatever it is. You know, we try to do that and we forget that we have a source of power that we don't always call upon. And so the Bible says, here's another reference if someone can get it. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened.
Matthew 11:20.
Good job. All right, Kelly. That's right. So Jesus says, come to me. And this whole session is about feeling burnt out and feeling tired and feeling weary. So the number one thing we can do is pray. It's good. It's good. So what are some ways we can make that practical? So it's easy to say. It's really hard to do. But what are some things that you do maybe, or some ways that you pray, or something that you have in your life that you want to offer up in mutual encouragement here? Like in preschool ministry specifically, okay. Like how can we apply prayer as a source of just refreshment and energy? It's hard. See, I told you it's hard. Simple but hard.
Maybe if you know of a one child who regularly comes who seems to be difficult.
Yeah.
Maybe just pray for him.
Praying for him, yeah.
Yeah. Way driving in.
Yeah, I'm going to see little Jimmy today. God, give me strength. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Just kind of pray for me to help me.
Yes.
Help him.
Help, give me patience, Lord, with these screaming one-year-olds. Yeah. What about, like, do any of you take your lists home, like your roll sheets home, and just pray over your children every week or once a month or whatever fits into your prayer schedule? If not, that's my first suggestion. Because Gloria does. Yeah. Get your list of who's in your class, and you can even break it up. Like, these kids regularly come. You still want to pray for them. And these kids I haven't seen in 2 months. You want to pray something different for them, but you want to still pray for them. And 10 minutes a week. I think we can all find 10 minutes a week, whether it's, like, Saturday night, you're getting ready for bed, and you're going to come to church in the morning and work. You just go through those names and pray for them. Another suggestion is praying over your lesson as you're reviewing it, and just praying, like, God, give me something that these kids can use. Give me something that I can teach them that is going to make a difference through this lesson. And so these are just quick, easy, like I said, 10 minutes. And kind of like Pastor Greg did, I love that with the ladder, that if you guys were here for Mission 1-8, you know, if you've never given before, just give something. You know, and if you kind of give something here and there, give something regularly, you know, make a commitment. If you do that, give 10%. If you do that, give more than 10%. You kind of just work your way up the ladder. It's like baby steps. It's the same way with ministry and praying for our children. Like, maybe you just have the 2 minutes before class starts, and that's where you are right now. Then that's where you are, and that's okay. Maybe you are one of those teachers. You have an hour every Saturday night that you pray for your class. That's like we have there. So you just work your way up there. But I encourage you to do something in praying for your class on a regular basis, like weekly. Like I said, maybe it's just the 2 minutes. You come 2 minutes early on Sunday morning, you stand in the room where they're going to be, and you just pray over that room for 2 minutes. Start there, you know, start something. Prayer is the number one thing that we can do to be refreshed.
This is what I used to do when I enter the room. Just when I enter like this, I would start speaking the word of God.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Word,
yes.
But it's not often like, you know, someday when the Holy Spirit comes and everything will come. But someday, and because you are committed to pray for it, and you pray that when the let just the Holy Spirit come to children when they cry and protect the children around, the furniture over here, and this, ABC, and it's not only that you can pray for your room, but you have to remember to pray for other teachers.
Sure.
And pray for all classes.
Right.
And it's not the word that you speak many, and you have to pray even for the church, for the service, for even for the pastor's way. This is what I used to do. I'm not doing a lot, but always, because when you try to do it every day, it becomes like, you know, it's a reminder when you enter there, just
saying,
okay, you know,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
you know,
it's
pray.
Yeah,
for yourself only. You can
pray
for yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes if you forget to pray, sometimes the day doesn't go.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It happens a lot because we get so caught up in ourselves and then we start to focus on ourselves and we're like, I can do this. I can do this. I cannot do this. That's how that ends. All right. So the next thing that I would suggest that I would offer to you for being refreshed is to find community. I don't know about Cyprus and Siena, but we have like 200 directors, teachers, and paid workers in our rooms. You have 200 people to choose to be friends with. So my suggestion to you is find a community. It doesn't have to be the people you serve in the room with. It can be. That's awesome. But find people in preschool ministry that you can hang out with. At other times, you can share stories. Kids are funny. You have funny stories. We all have funny stories. Share your stories. They'll get it. They'll laugh. They'll be like, yes, that happens to me all the time. Or share the little Jimmy who is hard. You know, share that with someone who gets it. And find community. Go to lunch together after you serve, or, you know, when we do something like this, like hang out. When we have meetings once a quarter or whatever, make friends. I'm lucky. My three best friends in Houston work with me at the church. Like, we became good friends. We all serve Brianna, Hi Jen, and Maribel. We hang out all the time, and it's fun, and it makes work fun. It makes work on days like this that are really long, when I'm here from like 8:30 to midnight, it makes it fun to just have somebody to just be friends with. So I would encourage you to build community with other people who serve in preschool, especially if probably most of you don't get to go to Bible study because you're serving all morning in preschool. So you need people to pray with. You need people to say, hey, I'm just not doing well right now, or my dog died and I'm really sad about that, or whatever it is. You need those people who are with you. And so find that in the preschool community. One great thing that I love about serving in the preschool, I go to a singles class at night, but in the preschool, I get to know people who are older than me, who are younger than me, married people, single people, people whose kids are already gone and left the house, people who have brand new babies. Like, in the preschool, we're kind of like almost a whole church, really. You know, there's an opportunity for lots of mentoring and discipleship with people of all different ages and life stages. The singles class that I go to is great. Like, I love it, but we're all in the same place. And it's hard to, like, tell me how you made it through this stage when we're all in the same place. So the preschool has a great opportunity for real, true community. You have to seek it out. You have to find it. It's not going to find you. All right, the last thing that I offer is determined to love it, which sounds easy enough. It's all about your attitude. Do you guys like to watch the show So You Think You Can Dance? Who watches that show? Yep. Yes. There was that girl on there last season. I forget her name now. It was a different name. But she was a hip-hop dancer.
Yes.
And so she's a hip-hop dancer, and when you're on the show, they make you do all kinds of different dances, ballroom or whatever. And so she would do these dances, and she would do them with so much energy, and it just looked good because she was excited about it, and she had all this energy. And the judges asked her, like, how do you do that? Why do you do that? And she's like, no matter what the dance is, I decide up front that I'm going to love it. And she just decides from the beginning to love it, and that just changes. It changes how much fun she's having, and then that shows. So the same for us. If you decide before you come here on Sunday morning that you're going to love it, then the parents who drop their kids off see that, your co-teachers see that, the kids feel that. You know, when you are excited to be here, people know it and they get it. When you're unhappy to be here, when you're like having one of these days, people see that. And so if you decide every Sunday morning, like, I'm going to love it. And some days it's going to be more difficult than others, but it really, really, really makes a big difference. So part of that, the next step, I guess, would actually be love it, which is easier than you think. So everybody has at least something in preschool ministry that they love. Like, if you think about it, and you're going to get to think about it, we're going to answer some questions in a minute so we can move on to the next paper. What do you love about preschool ministry? I love to play. So on Wednesday night, I teach with Miss Jessica, sometimes, not a lot anymore, Mission Friends, four-year-olds. My favorite thing is to play with them. So I get to, like, sit in this chair, and they come over with a doctor kit, and they just wrap me all up and put a thermometer in my mouth and give me, like, yucky medicine and all these fun things. But I love it. And then I get energy. I leave here at 9 o'clock at night, and I'm excited because I was playing, and I feel like I'm four again, and it's awesome. So for me, like, that is what I love. That is what makes me super happy. And while I'm playing, I can have those Bible conversations. I can just say a Bible truth or somehow relate playing doctor to whatever missionary we're talking about, you know, can do that. But that's what I love about preschool ministry. That does not necessarily mean that's what you all have to love. So what do you love? What is the thing that you love that makes you so excited about preschool ministry?
For some reason, I love their hugs. Oh, yes.
Their little arms, their little hands, hugs are great.
And that motivates me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like, I love this. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? What do you love?
Please, we have more space.
Coloring. Coloring. I love coloring, and the children never want to color as long as I do. I'm like, I'm not done. come back.
I like to see, like, how far they've come. I know
that people, yeah.
They're so new to everything, right. And a lot of kids are just now, you know.
Yeah. What age do you teach?
Preschool.
Like fours, fives, four and five?
From 3 to 6.
3 to 6, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think just like, they're so new to everything, and then just, you know, going into them teaching how to do certain things, how to share, you know,
right.
How to like interact with kids, and just seeing like, we have this one girl that cries and cries and cries. And, well, in the beginning, I mean, that's all she did, and now she's just fun to see how far they've come.
Mm-hmm.
Just a, you know, short amount of time.
And to know that you're a part of that, you know, like, that's cool. Cool impact. That's a good word.
I think that with her, but it's more like listening to them, like when they start to use like full sentences.
Oh yeah,
excited.
Yeah.
You're like, their communication.
They're like growing. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, this little person is getting bigger.
Hearing, like, stories and
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really fun. That's fun. What else?
I think I like.
Just being a teacher.
Just, and they ask, you know, random questions. I love explaining it. And sometimes I'm struggling for it, but I'm like, okay, God, you know how to explain this to them. Just take over. And I just love it because I see their minds like working.
Right.
And like trying to process it. And sometimes, you know, they'll think and then they'll ask some more questions and then they'll ask some more.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
yeah,
I just
it's
love
cute.
Motivating them.
It's fun, yeah. Cultivating the knowledge. I like that. That's good. Who else? Oh, and they get to experience things for the first time. Yeah.
And they don't want to. They don't want to touch it.
Yeah. They're like, no, I don't know.
That's good. I like Bible story.
Oh, Bible story time. Yes.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
Like art time.
Art time, yes.
Interpretation of what they're supposed to be doing.
Yes, yes, yes.
I really love
the Bible verse. Yeah, craft time's good. The Bible verse, like teaches them the verse, yeah. So we all have things that we love, and what I love, obviously, is not what you love. So you have a little heart in front of you, and go ahead and start doing this. We're going to have to share the markers, sorry. But on that heart, I want you to write down what you love, the one thing you love most about preschool ministry, and then you can keep it, and you can be reminded on those days when you're like, I really don't love it today. Put this in your car or in your Bible or in your Sunday school OBS book or wherever, and just be reminded of like what you really love I made some over there. What you really love about preschool ministry. So take a minute and write that on the heart, and then pass the pen along to another friend. What? You can do both sides if you want. Yes. So.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yes. If you didn't get one of the hearts, raise your hand. We have a couple other. We have some circles. You can have a circle. Circle's as good as a heart. Yay. Yeah. So put the one thing that you just really love the most about preschool ministry. She's got a long one. Okay. So I'm just going to keep going because we only have about, I guess we have about 20 more minutes, so we're good. We have some time. Yes. Making you laugh. You like laughing at the children.
Okay,
yes.
They have some serious
not laughing with them.
Just add them. I love laughing at the children.
RJ's a parent, and now you're freaking him out. He's like, I'm not dropping my kids off with you.
Pass those markers around whenever you're done. Please.
So if you love crafts, obviously the whole Sunday morning can't be crafts. Like, not all the kids like crafts. That's just the way it goes. But you can really make craft time fun for you. You know, you can bring in really fun and creative crafts. If you love telling the story, make the circle time the best time those kids have ever had on Sunday morning. Bring your dress-up clothes and your props and really make it. If it's fun for you, it's fun for them. If you get excited about craft time, they are going to get excited about craft time. I was going to say, Jessica and I teach on Wednesday night, so I love playing with the kids, but I'm not good at coming up with craft ideas or activities. I do it because I have to, but it's just not what I'm, it's not my forte. I really just want to show up and play. But Miss Jessica teaches with me, and she's great. We did a really fun beach in the bottle on Wednesday night that she thought of, and the kids loved it. You know, they put in the food coloring and the water and the rocks, and so she's really good. That's one of her, she's good at coming up with those craft activities. Like I said, I'll do it. It's not my favorite. It's not my most fun thing, but you got to do it. But then you make the fun parts the best part of the day, and you're happy, and everybody's happy. It's all good. So kind of along the same lines as what you love, you all have a gift. The Bible says that we've all been given spiritual gifts. Your gifts are going to be different than my gifts, but we all have gifts. And so we can use those gifts in serving in the preschool ministry. Have you guys ever done the spiritual gifts test? Yes, what are some of your gifts?
Encouragement.
Encouragement, good, yeah.
Knowledge.
Yeah. What was it?
Listening.
good. The church has a really good website. It's called the Place Test, and you can figure out your personality and your spiritual gift test from there. I also have some packets that we'll give out as you leave if you want one. It's kind of long, so I didn't think we'd have time to do it in the class. But you can kind of just go through and tally up and figure out what some of your spiritual gifts are. But the point is, no matter what your gift, you can use it in the preschool ministry somehow. So let's see. You said encouragement, right? So kids need encouragement. They need, like, maybe they don't get that at home, or maybe they do and they just need more. You can use encouragement. Hospitality. If your gift is hospitality, you know, then you're the person at the door who's welcoming those kids in. That's where you need to be. If your spiritual gift is leadership, you need to direct a room and don't be bossy, but delegate out some of the tasks to some of the other people. What are some other gifts that we can use in preschool? Not everybody in preschool ministry has to have the gift of teaching. That's what I'm saying. We've all been called, and we all have gifts, but we can use those gifts in preschool ministry. So what are some other gifts that you can use in preschool ministry?
Mercy.
Mercy. You need that with those little children. Patience. Yeah. You just got to forgive them sometimes because they're still learning. They don't know all the rules. Yeah. Anybody else? Compassion. You definitely have to have some compassion. Yeah, for sure. Administration, right? Especially if you're in a baby room. You need it for all the rooms. But if you're in a baby room, you have to write down what they eat, when you change the diaper, what their name is, make sure everything's labeled. That's all kind of like that organization. You have to have that administrative organization gift. But even in the older rooms, you can use that because somebody's got to like be the one to make sure the kids are getting their birthday cards and their welcome cards or their We Miss You cards or calling, things like that. All those, the gift of administration. What I'm trying to say is know your gifts. Know what you're strong at and use those in the classroom. So in the classroom, you also have a team. It's all teamwork, right? So your gifts are different than my gifts, But if I have the gift of administration and you have the gift of hospitality, well, I'm going to say you go over to the door and I will write all these fun things down. So we can work together as a team because that's what the church is supposed to be. We're all using our different gifts to accomplish a goal, and that's what it is in the preschool room. But you have to work together. You have to figure out your own gifts. You have to know what your gifts are, and you have to talk to your co-teachers and figure out what their gifts are, and you got to work out a plan of who's doing what in the preschool room, right? Right. Yay. Okay. So, because we're talking about gifts, we have one more gift card to give away. Ta-da-da-da. But everybody gets to take home a gift. So, it's a surprise. So, don't open it yet. But we all have different gifts. So we're all going to get out of this and spread them out just a little bit. I'm not forgetting you. One of these gifts does have an additional gift card in it. So lucky you. Thank you. Did everybody get one?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, shake it up. See what your gift might be.
I don't have a gift.
You don't have a gift? It's like Christmas. Oh, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? Okay, you can open your gifts, see what your gift is, and see if anybody has the gift of a gift card. Hello! Yay! It's candy. I love candy. Got it.
10 minutes.
Okay. All right. God bless you. So everybody got a gift?
Yes. Thank you.
In real life, you can't trade your gifts. You can improve on some things, obviously. But if you want to trade gifts, you do. You can. I won't be a villain. Yeah, we'll do it then. Okay, so we only have about 7 more minutes. Does anybody have any questions? We'll do just a little bit of question and answer, and then we have a couple announcements for the end. Or just anything you want to say? You're just welcome. I love candy. Milk duds are my favorite, so I'm going to follow you around and eat your milk duds. That's what I'm going to do. Any thoughts? Questions? You keep it. It's just for you to see where you are. Yeah, just for fun. Yes. All right, Miss Danielle has a couple of announcements, and then we'll watch to be early so you can beat everybody to the other snacks. Then we're all going to go together to the rehearsal hall, which is, if you go out the preschool doors, it's just straight down to the left, and you'll dead end into that room. If you're not required to go to that session, you can go wherever you want for the third session, but
if you're lost, just find someone that's ready.
So we're actually quite early. We have 10 minutes from the hall. So you can take another minute.
I just want to encourage you. I've been in preschool here at the church for 34 years. I started out volunteering an 8-month-old holding babies, and God spoke to me. So if you're in that position, you do not know what lies ahead, but I assure you it's a blessing. And I just encourage you and pray for you that you follow God's heart and calling. And if it is truly your calling, he'll speak to you. And you'll be here in 34
years. Yeah.
I second the motion. emotion. I haven't been here as long as you have. And I came to volunteer. And it's Marion James is the one who put me to work. And that's my calling to be here, to work.
So how long have you been here?
Since 96.
96.
Before Susan was here. Susan was there before me.
Oh, wow. That's fun. Yeah. It's good to be encouraged by people who have stuck it out.
Probably been around 30 years.
It's amazing. Round of applause for you. That's a long time. And it's hard, as we said. True school ministry is hard. We love it, and it's fun, but we know that it's hard. So it's really hard. Just a last encouragement, as Carolyn said, we are all called to serve the church. So don't grow weary of doing good. Keep working, keep serving. Find the things you love, find your gifts, use them for God's glory, use them for His kingdom, and have fun hanging out in the hallway for like 7 minutes. Try not to be too loud because we're done early.
Thank you.